So we're here on Noah's Ark with Tim Chafee, the content manager. So talk about being content manager of Noah's Ark.
Well, it's been such a privilege to be to do what I do. I get to write every single one of the exhibits, whether it's writing the wording for the signage, the audio scripts, video scripts. I get to oversee that. And to be able to do the research, to work with the designers like I do, and see how they make all those things come to life, it's just what a blessing that's been.
So you've dealt with the animals?
To some degree. I have an assistant that is an expert with the animals, so I've kind of handed off almost all of the animal things to him, and everything else I get to focus on. My training mostly is in Bible and theology, so that's where I focus my energy.
I noticed down below we have the animals, and then the next level we have the other sites there, and then up above we have their home, pretty much.
As far as the animals go? Yeah, we have... We wanted to be able to give some animal kinds teaching throughout the Ark, because that's one of the big questions that people have is how to know if it's the animals. Well, so the first floor is designed to be big picture. Here's how we can narrow down that big number that they always throw out. They'll say, how did you get 5 million species or 20 million species? And I think they just pull a number out of thin air a lot of times. But we're not dealing with species. And what they don't tell you is most of those times that they talk about those numbers, they're including all the bacteria that have ever been named. They're including all the marine creatures. They're including all of the insects. Those things Noah probably didn't have to bring at all. When we're talking about just the land-dwelling animals, then you're down to about 32,000, 33,000 species. But the Bible's not talking about species, it's talking about kinds. And so how did that 33,000 species come from the 1,400 kinds, which is what our research has shown? And so the second floor deals with that in more detail, and third floor shows just some more of the animals.
One thing I noticed was you have food being planted all through.
Oh, yeah. On the third floor in the living quarters exhibit, we have a garden. We don't know how much light would have been able to spill in through the opening on the roof. So we tried for the most part to get plants that don't require a lot of light. But we think it's possible that they did grow some sort of vegetation on the ark. God told Noah, bring every kind of food that's eaten. So it could have been stored, grains and nuts and everything else that could have been dehydrated, anything like that. But it's possible they grew some of the food as well. Maybe for themselves, I don't know if they could grow enough for the animals.
One thing I noticed about the cages for the animals, you have space under the cages with some pots. Talk about that.
It depends on the size of the animal, but most of the animals will have a flooring that is slotted. So if it was a real animal rather than the sculptured one, when it goes number one or number two, it can drop through the flooring, and then it's easy to access that area to clean it out. Some of it would actually be sloped, and then it fills up a little gully or something in the front, and you just scoop that out, and it's clean. So you don't have to go into each and every single cage and muck out every single cage. It's designed, the intent behind it was how could they make their job as easy as possible, because they have... close to 7,000 animals to care for, and you got to do that every single day. Well, some of them wouldn't require daily cleaning, but you would try to make it as automated as possible.
So you've thought about day-to-day life on the ark.
Yeah, and that's really what Deck 2 is showing, a lot of the working scenes. It's showing how could they care for the animals, how could they feed them, how could they remove the waste, what kind of systems would they have in the ark. We have a workshop, so if something broke, how could they repair it? They have a blacksmith area, so if one of the implements broke, how could they fix that? And so we show that throughout the second floor.
One thing I noticed was the watering system that you have, where you have a large basin that waters two different cages at the same time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It's like a double valve system. You can fill it from the top. If they collected rainwater from the roof, let's say they used the surface because of how large that is, we did all the calculations. You would need 1 inch of rain per week, which is what the average here is in Williamstown, Kentucky, to keep the cisterns full, which would be enough to water all the animals. It'd be enough to have the water to clean out the stalls and everything else. So you can run that through piping into the smaller cisterns, and then you can use that to fill all of the amphoras, the different watering vessels.
So can you talk about the size of the ark?
Yeah, the Bible says that Noah was to make the ark 300 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. And it depends on the measurement of a cubit. Some people say, well, the standard cubit is 17.5 to 18 inches. There's, it depends on where you look. A lot of them will be somewhere in that range. But a lot of the major constructions of the past, if you look at the Great Pyramid, you look at a lot of these bigger building projects, they all use what's called a long or a royal cubit. And those are usually a hand breadth longer than what a normal cubit is. And so what we did is we went with the shorter of the Hebrew cubit, 17.5 inches, and then we added a hand breadth of 2.9 inches to that, and we got 20.4. And so you have a 20.4 inch cubit, which makes this 510 feet long, 82 feet wide, and 51 feet tall. Really big.
So is this enough space for all the animals?
Yeah, actually, when we did the research, when we got the studies in on what the animals are, our boss told my assistant and me, hey, I want you to figure out how much they weigh on average and how much space they take up, how much they're going to eat, how much they're going to drink, and get that to me by next Friday. So, that was a fun week, I'll tell you that much. We had a lot to do, but when we showed him the numbers, and this was before a few of the studies were in, so there were still a few more numbers to add, but he said, we showed him, and he said, you know what, nobody's going to believe this. Make all of the animal enclosures 1.5 times the size they need to be, because every animal would have fit on one floor of the ark.
Wow. So what kind of problems did you run into with the design?
A lot of it was just on the ends here that you see. Nobody has ever... you know, in our day, nobody's ever built something like this. And so how do you curve the shape like this and have it built up to code and have it this size and use these massive timbers? And so I know that they had some struggles with the stern end and with the bow end, especially trying to figure that out. So even as they were building the middle, they were still calculating, trying to figure out, okay, exactly how are we going to do this and make sure it's ready on time. And so I know that was one of the issues construction-wise, but... they did a magnificent job, didn't they?
Can you talk about the exterior?
As far as the siding goes? Yeah, the wood is, I don't remember exactly what kind it's called, but it's from New Zealand. And the trees are cut there, and then the wood is actually shipped to, I think it's the Netherlands. It's somewhere in Northern Europe. And they treat it with a new process that is good for 50 years. So a 50-year guarantee on all the siding. So we don't have to worry about that for quite a while.
What about the fin that we see up at the top?
The bow fin, some people think, why do you have a sail up there? You know, that, well, it's not movable, so it's not really a sail. And so the reason for the bow fin is it was designed as a ship, but built as a building. So we wanted it to look like a ship. The reason you would have that bow fin is the wind would blow against it and press it so that it turns the ark face on, or actually the stern end, where there's that stern projection in the front. So that would go face into the waves. If you don't have something like that, you could get caught in an area where the waves are hitting you side on, and that would be a very rough ride for the passengers. It could stay afloat, but you're constantly getting slammed into the side. This will keep it so that it's constantly riding over the waves the way it should.
So you took into account how they would live on the ark and how the ark would itself move in the water.
Yes. Yeah, that was the idea. We want to make sure that Noah would have thought through those things. And actually, our backstory has Noah as a shipbuilder already. You know, a lot of times people don't consider that. But when God calls somebody to do something, a lot of times he's already been preparing them throughout their life to do what he wants them to do. So maybe he was already a shipbuilder. We don't, you know, that's artistic license. We don't know that. Even if he wasn't, when God said build it, he's got time to learn it. And we know he did it successfully. So he took that into account, I think. Of course he would have. And so our guys did too.
So which is the front?
That's a good question, because people will look at it and say, wait a second, that's not a bow fin, that's on the stern. You got it backwards, but it's not actually backwards, because the ark is not powered. It has no engine to propel it through the waves, so the waves would actually carry it. It would travel along with the waves, meaning the foremost part of the ark is what looks like the back end. It's the bow, which would actually be the forward part. So people will say, you guys have it backwards, but we don't actually, because there's no self-propelling in the ark.
So in designing this, did you take into account ancient ship building?
Yeah, actually, Tim Lovett's the guy who came up with this sort of design structure. And I know he's here somewhere today. I saw him at one of the other tents. But he did take into account a lot of the ancient, what do they call it, Greek triremes and some of the other, some of the Egyptian boats that they found, where they have some sort of projection on one end up on the top, and they have like that fixed rudder. And it's for that purpose, to keep it turned into the waves.
So how can our readers learn more about the Ark Encounter and Noah's Ark?
Well, they can find out more on the arkencounter.com website. We'll have some articles there, but not a whole lot. There's some on the blog. So if you want to see what's going on here, Ark Encounter is a great website for that. But if you want more information on the detailed construction and everything, answersingenesis.org would have a lot of that information.
Do you have any parting thoughts for our readers?
come and visit the Ark. It is spectacular. For, you know, the main reason to come and visit, you know, people ask, why did you build the Ark? And one of the reasons, we want to answer skeptical questions. We want to be able to show, look, yes, the Ark was huge. Yes, he could have built it. Yes, the animals could fit. But that's not the most important reason. The most important reason is because we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with an unbelieving world. And we have a magnificent opportunity to do that here at the Ark. And, so we've got, right now we have a temporary gospel presentation up. Within a few months, we're going to have our full exhibit up. We didn't have that end of the boat in time in order to put it in. But it's going to be a spectacular exhibit, and I'm very excited for that.
What's next?
This is just phase one of the whole Ark Encounter theme park. So the next thing here would be a walled city. So out near where the buses drop people off, on the other side of that, there will be a large walled city, which would be like a retail center with restaurants. And like kind of like you have Main Street at Disney, I guess, is what they tell me. I haven't been there, but that's what I've heard. But it'll help filter the crowd a little bit so it's not just one big rush to the Ark. And then after that, we have other phases planned, Tower of Babel and First Century Village and a 10 Plagues ride, you know, a walk through biblical history.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.